Take your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Acts chapter 4. I love to preach out of the book of Acts. Somebody said a great outline of the book of Acts is Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the people went out. Amen? That's a good outline. Jesus went up, the Holy Spirit came down, and the people went out. And I want us to look in Acts chapter 4 tonight, and before we read just one verse, I want to just say to you that I believe that all of us tonight need to respond to this message. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to respond to this message tonight. I heard a story about this couple. They had become empty nesters. Kids had left and got a little too quiet around the house, so they thought they'd get them a pet. So they went down to the pet store, and they were walking around trying to find out what kind of pet they might want. And so they had to walk by this big old parrot sitting out on a perch. And that parrot could talk. And when that man walked by, he said, "Hey, mister, you know what?" He said, "What?" He said, "Your wife is ugly." Well, it made him mad, but he didn't say much. And so he had to walk by that parrot again. And that parrot said, "Hey, mister, you know what?" He said, "What?" He said, "Your wife is still ugly." Well, he really got mad, so he went to the owner of the pet store, told him what happened. The pet store owner came over there and told that bird, "If you do that again, I'm going to take you out of this world." Well, the couple made their purchase. They had to walk by that parrot on their way out. And that parrot said, "Hey, mister, you know what?" He said, "What?" He said, "You know what?" It takes some of y'all an hour and a half to watch 60 minutes, amen, but you got it. Now, I said that to say this. I believe this church, New Life Baptist Church, knows what. We just need to get busy about doing what. Can I hear an amen tonight? You've heard the word of God. You have a great pastor. You know the truth. We just need to get busy and begin to do what the word of God has to say. Can we all agree on that tonight? Amen? So here's the challenge, Brother John, I want to give to myself and all of us here tonight. I pray that tonight in this message, in this service, that we'll all become an Acts 4:13 Christian. I'm going to preach to the church tonight. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, we all need to be an Acts 4:13 Christian, all right? And we'll find out what that's about in just a moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now as they saw the boldness, and that word boldness means to be outspoken. When they saw the outspokenness, the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Let me read that again. Now when they saw the boldness, the outspokenness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Now let's go back to Acts 1 in our minds. Just think about it. Don't turn to it. Let's just think about it. We know what it says. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus had given the people of God, his disciples, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And I want to just mention a few things about the Holy Spirit tonight, because there's a lot of confusion and a lot of false teaching about the Holy Spirit, a lot of misnomers about the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want you to know the Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. Come on, amen. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is as much God as God the Father and God the Son. But yet he's not God the Father and he's not God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't just an influence or some power. He's not some green fog that's going to come up under the door tonight and get on you like your wife's hair gel. Come on, somebody. Are you with me tonight? The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit was promised to us, and thank God, on the day of Pentecost, when we get to Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came upon these 120 people that were in the upper room. The Bible says there was a mighty rushing wind that went through that upper room. And they saw as if it were cloven tongues of fire upon everyone's head. In other words, they saw something, they heard something, and they felt something. I believe we ought to experience that every time we come to the house of the Lord. How about you? We ought to hear something. We ought to feel something. We ought to see something. And now this crowd that was scared of their own shadow and They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus had left them. But now the Holy Spirit's come. And so this bunch of people that were afraid of their own shadow, that were this underground ministry, had now become a main street crusade. And Peter gets up on the day of Pentecost and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. I'd say that's a pretty good Sunday. Can I hear an amen right there? Well, the Bible says that the next day in chapter 3 that Peter and John, you know what they did? They just went to church. You know what? If we just start doing what we're supposed to be doing, we might see the miraculous power of God. Can I hear an amen right there? Because when Peter and John were on their way to church, the Bible says there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb, lame on his feet from his mother's womb, and he was begging for alms. And you remember that great verse we have in the Bible? Peter said, "Look upon us, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And a man that had never stood up before stood up, and he began to walk, and he began to run and leap and praise God, and the people were amazed. Well, the officials, the religious officials, the government officials wondered what power they did this in, what authority that they did this in. And they preached unto them the resurrection of Christ. And, of course, they were put in prison, and they were there for a while, and they were beaten. And the Bible tells us that they were persecuted for their faith. But the Bible says that the people saw something about these men and women. When they looked upon them, when they saw their life, they saw they were bold. And even though they had not been to the schools of the rabbis, they realized they had been with Jesus. Now, I want to say to you tonight, church, that our world is not unlike the world of Peter and James and John and Matthew and those disciples. We live in a dark and a demonic and a depraved world. Can I hear an amen from the church tonight? But it was not unlike the world of our brothers and sisters that we're studying about tonight. And if we're going to be used of God, and I'm a very simple-minded person, and I'm so excited on the inside tonight. If I wasn't so fat, I'd turn a flip right now. Y'all listening to me? I believe tonight that God can still bring an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival to the United States of America. I believe that. I believe we can see a revolution in this country. Can I hear an amen? You know, I think of all the young people that are here tonight. And when you study church history, every revival that came through our nation, you know what? That swept our nation, it started with young people. The great Welsh revival started with a teenage girl, 13 years of age. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we can have a mighty move of the Holy Spirit in our day. But we're going to have to make up our mind that we're going to have this determination to be an Acts 4:13 Christian. Now, I want you to think about something tonight. Turn on your thinking cap. Think with me. It was said of the first century believers in Acts 17:6 that they turned the world upside down. The Bible says in Acts 15:26 that they risked their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts 5:28 that they filled the entire city, the city of Jerusalem, with their teaching, with their doctrine. The Bible says in Acts 4:20, they could not help but speak of the things that they had seen and heard. In other words, Jesus was such a reality of them, no matter what the people said, not to speak in this name, not to preach anymore in this name, the Bible says they couldn't help it. They had a case of the can't help it. And everywhere they went, they were talking about Jesus, and they filled the whole city with doctrine, with their teaching. They even put their lives down and risked their lives for the glory of God, for the cross. And then eventually, the Bible says, they turned the world upside down for Christ. Don't you want that to happen in Bryan, Arkansas tonight? Listen to what the Bible says, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, these men and women lived under an open heaven, and they were determined in their heart, no matter what happened, they were going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, and through that, through the walking and the power of the Holy Spirit, they could change their world. Can I hear an amen from the church tonight? So I challenge you tonight to become an Acts 4:13 Christian. Now, you say, well, what does that look like? Well, I'm going to share this with you. First of all, here's what an Acts 4:13 Christian like. First of all, these people were people of unbelievable courage. They had boldness. Turn to your neighbor and say they had boldness. God uses men and women. Listen to me tonight. God uses men and women that are willing to be his servants no matter what the consequence. I challenge you to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11 again, that what we call the chapter of faith, the hall of faith. When you read that chapter, you'll discover something. You'll discover that some of the people in that chapter were delivered out of persecution, but some people were put to death. But here's the common denominator. All of these men and women had decided in their heart, had predetermined in their heart, they were going to be the men and women of God no matter what the consequence, no matter what took place, even if it cost them their physical life. Now, here's the problem with American Christianity. We can't stay off the ball field long enough to have revival. We can't get out in front of the television long enough to have revival. Come on, amen or not? We want to have a soft, nice, easy Christianity. No, ladies and gentlemen, there is a price to pay to be an Acts 4:13 Christian. Peter Cartwright was a great evangelist when Andrew Jackson was the president of our nation. One night, Peter Cartwright was getting ready to preach in this church, and some men came to him before he went out into the auditorium and said, "Mr. Cartwright, we just want to inform you that our president, President Andrew Jackson, is in the service tonight. Please don't say anything that would offend him." Peter Cartwright got up to preach, and he said, "I understand that our esteemed president, Andrew Jackson, is in the auditorium tonight, and we're so grateful that he's here. But I want to tell our esteemed president that if he doesn't bow his knee to Jesus Christ, repent of his sin, give his life to Christ, he's going to burn in hell." After the service, Andrew Jackson came to Peter Cartwright and said, "Sir, I don't know who you are or where you came from, but if I had 100 men like you, I could turn the world upside down." Sam Jones was a little bitty short Methodist evangelist back when Methodists preached the word. Come on, amen. He was holding a crusade in Nashville, Tennessee, big tent crusade. 6,000 people were attending that crusade back in those days. This is right before the 1900s, at the end of the century. One night he preached against gambling and prostitution and alcohol. It was the days of prohibition. And let me just stop and say something here. Why is it now that we're getting so soft about alcohol in the Baptist church? I've never counseled any couple where the woman looked at me and said, "Bill, I wish my husband would have drank more alcohol." Well, it's getting quiet already in here. Isn't it? Some of y'all got a little hooch at the house. Amen. Well, Thomas Ryman was a riverboat captain down on the Cumberland River, and Sam Jones had called his name out with the other riverboat captains. So those riverboat captains got together. They wrote Sam Jones a letter. Now, he's just a little bitty old fella. And they said, "Mr. Jones, if you call our names out tonight, we're going to beat you up behind the tent after this service." And Sam Jones said, "I'll eagerly take on that exercise when I get through my message tonight." Sam Jones got up to preach. He said, "Thomas Ryman, I know you're in this tent tonight. And not only are you breaking the heart of God, you're breaking your mama's heart. Get saved." And Thomas Ryman fell under deep conviction. He said it was like a spear went through his heart. And he repented of his sin, gave his life to Christ. Immediately went down to the riverboat, ran all the prostitutes off, poured out all the liquor. He even tore down those riverboats. And he began to build what was called the Union Gospel Mission. You would know it as the Ryman Auditorium in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. And if you go there today, the cornerstone says Union Gospel Mission. And he wouldn't let them name it after him. It was the Union Gospel Mission, but after he died, around Christmas time in 1899, or a little long, maybe in the early 1900s, they changed the name to the Ryman Auditorium, and it was only built for Sam Jones and other preachers to sing and preach the gospel. He'd roll over in his grave to know what's been sung on that stage. Sam Jones had boldness. Peter Cartwright had boldness, but we're afraid. Come on, somebody help me here tonight. We're scared to death that somebody's going to spit in our face or give us a cussing or hit us. Listen, I want to tell you something. When you signed up to be a Christian, you signed up to take a cross up and die to yourself. Come on, amen. Listen, about 200,000 people last year lost their life following Christ around the world. But yet we get our little feelings hurt in the church and move our membership. Come on, somebody help me preach tonight. We need to be people of unbelievable courage. Now, they were bold, but they also believed. Acts 27:25, Paul said, I believe God. If we're going to have courage, we got to be bold. But yet we got to also believe God. Come on, amen. We serve a big God. Think about little David when he went out to take his brother some sandwiches on the battlefield. You know the story. There's big old Goliath, a 9-foot upright armadillo. Amen. Had on all this armor. He's blaspheming the name of Jehovah God. Little David said, what's this guy doing? Why don't y'all do something? Look how big he is. None of us want to fight him. We're scared. David said, I'll fight him. Saul put his armor on him and he said, I can't use this. I've never proven it. But I have proven this sling. With this sling, the Lord's helped me kill a lion and a bear. And so he picked up 5 smooth stones. Somebody asked a preacher one time, why did David get 5 smooth stones? There was only one giant. He said he had 4 brothers. Come on. And you remember what he told? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. You remember what he told Goliath? You come to me and a spear with a spear and a sword. But I come to you in the name of the Lord. You know what my Bible says? My Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And we can run into that tower and find safety and protection. Can anybody say amen tonight? The Bible says, whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. And peace and joy and a sound mind. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Man, David swung that sling around. He hit old Goliath right between the eyes and he fell down dead as a hammer. He cut his head off. He believed God. Those 3 Hebrew boys they were thrown in that fiery furnace in Babylon. Remember what they said? Hey, we're not going to bow down to your idol Nebuchadnezzar. Our God's able to deliver, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down. Could you imagine us being in a football field tonight and there's a 9-foot idol at the opposite end of the field and they tell us we're going to blow a trumpet and anybody that doesn't bow down to that idol is going to be thrown in a fiery furnace? Now we're getting real, aren't we? Come on, amen or not? Well, I couldn't go to church last night. Now, I'm not preaching to those that are here for those that aren't here, but I know you'll tell them, so I'm going to tell it. Amen. I couldn't go. It's too cold. Now, I'm going to stop and say something right here to you. Y'all love me? I said, y'all love me? Are you sure you love me? I've been all over the world, Brother John. I preached to Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. Not long ago, I was in Pakistan. I stood up in front of 6,000 Muslims in a big old field. I was up on a platform. I never felt so American, so white, so big, and so slow in all my life. Amen. I was just a sitting target. And I've seen people suffering for their Christianity. I've seen people really sacrifice for the Lord Jesus. And so here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't come up to me this week and say, I didn't like the music. Or the preaching was too long. Or the chair was too hard. Or it's too hot in there. Too cold in there. Because if you do, I'm just going to warn you. I'm going to take my shirt off and go redneck on you. Amen, I am. Our God's able to deliver, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to the idol. And the Bible says the guy that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in that furnace, he was consumed because the fire was so hot. But Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw 3 men in that fire and there's a 4th man in there? You know who that was? That was Jesus. So remember, next time you get in the fire, he's already there. Come on, amen or not? Because when they put 3 in, they brought 3 out, so he must still be in there. Come on, amen. And when they got out of that fire, the hair on their head wasn't singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. You can't go out of a convenience store in Arkansas and do that. Come on, amen. Joshua came with be only two of people over 40 years of old, 20 years of age that got to go in the promised land because they believed God. So if you're going to be an Acts 4:13 Christian, first of all, you've got to have unbelievable courage. That comes through boldness and believing. Can I hear an amen tonight? Here's point number two. Look back over at verse 13 of Acts 4. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Not only do these people have unbelievable courage, but they had unquestioned authority. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled. Now, these men were not illiterate. They'd just not been to the schools of the rabbis. The scripture is not teaching us tonight that we shouldn't be trained or we shouldn't study the Bible. But what it's saying is this: our authority does not come from men, it comes from God. Amen. I heard this revival was going on, and this lady stood up to give a testimony. And she said, "I praise God for my ignorance, and I pray make me more ignoranter and more ignoranter." And a lady stood up on the other side of the church and said, "He answered that prayer fast. Amen." We don't check our brain at the door when we get saved. Come on, amen. We study to show ourselves approved, the Bible says. Now, how do these people have such authority? Well, because their lives were based on the Bible. The Bible says. Did you ever notice when Billy Graham preached, he'd say over and over, "The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says." You see, Billy Graham's messages had authority because quoted and read the Bible. Come on, amen. That's where we get our authority, from the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will endure forever. Come on, amen or not? God's Word is established. It will not change. It will be carried out. Their lives were also centered on Jesus. I want you to ask yourself a question, and I want you to be honest. Can you honestly say your life and focus is on Jesus Christ? Or is it distracted tonight with work and all the stuff that's in your life? They were men and women whose lives were based on the Bible. They were centered on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like that old song we used to sing, "Jesus in the morning, Jesus at the noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down." Also, these men and women were saturated by the Holy Spirit. I've got a friend who God has used all over the world now, but he tells the story that when he first started preaching, he was pastoring a country church. And there was an older gentleman in that church, and one Sunday night after church, he said, "Pastor, do you like to fish?" He said, "Yeah, I like to fish." He said, "I'm going to pick you up in the morning. We're going to go fishing." He said he got to his house about 5:30, 6 o'clock that morning, just had an old pickup with a John boat in the back, no motor. So they went down this old gravel road, turned on a dirt road, and the old man stopped, and he said, "We need to get out." So they got out, and they dragged that John boat through the woods a little piece to an old stagnant-looking pond. They put that boat in the water. They pushed out as they got in that boat, and so they got their fishing poles out. They didn't get a nibble, a bite, or nothing, and finally my buddy said, "Are there any fish in this pond?" And the old man said, "Not that I know of." He said, "Why are we here?" He said, "I need to talk to you in private." He said, "What do you need to talk to me about?" He said, "Pastor, you can't preach a lick, and there's no anointing on your life." He said he knew the man was serious, and he knew the man was not out to hurt him. The old man looked at him and said, "You ready to go?" And my friend said, "Yeah, I'm ready." They got back in that truck. They loaded up that John boat, got back in that truck, and they rode back to the preacher's house, my friend's house, in silence. My friend thanked him for taking him fishing. He said, "I got in my house and I got my Bible and I went into a closet. And I took that Bible and I got on my knees and I said, 'God, I'm not coming out of this closet till I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not coming out of this closet till there's a fresh anointing of God on my life.'" I think that's what we need to do tonight before we go to bed. Can I hear an amen? We need to get on our knees by our bed or by our couch. We say, "God, we're tired of going through the motions. We're tired of just having church. We want a fresh anointing on our life." Is anybody hungering for that tonight? These people had unbelievable courage, unquestioned authority. But then third of all, these were people of unquenchable fire. Notice what the Bible says. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." They marveled. "And they took knowledge of them." They were on fire. I'm sure y'all have heard the story about the pastor who got a phone call about 2 in the morning, and the voice on the other end said, the church building's on fire. Preacher got up, put his clothes on, rushed down to the church, and was standing there watching their building being consumed by the fire. He looked to his right, and there was the town drunk. And he looked at him and said, man, what are you doing here? You never go to church. He said, church never been on fire before, preacher. Somebody said, if we'd catch on fire, the world come watch us burn. Come on, amen. These people would not be denied. They knew the message could not be destroyed. Even if the messenger was destroyed, God would raise somebody else up. Now, I'm going to give you some secrets tonight, okay? To how to have this unquenchable fire in your life. If you want to have the power of God, if you want to have this fire in your life, first of all, you got to get busy talking about Jesus. Now, you may not agree with this. You have your right to be wrong, but I'm going to tell you something now. We could pray, and we could preach, and we could sing, and we can give, but there'll be no real power in our lives or in the church's life until we're busy out in the marketplace telling people about Jesus Christ. Now, thank God we had 2 baptisms, and I think y'all baptized quite a few here recently here at the church, and thank God for it. Do you know there's Southern Baptist churches that go for years and never have 1 baptism? You know what that means? There's a bunch of pastors not soul winning. Are y'all out? Is this on, or can y'all hear me? That means there's a bunch of deacons not soul winning. Deacons are being full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. And you know the main business of a man or woman filled with the Holy Ghost? It's sharing Jesus. If there's any evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's being a witness. I told my wife, if I ever pastor a church and we get to the church here, hadn't baptized anybody, I'm going to put you in there and put 1 down. Amen. I'm not putting 0 down. Are you sharing the gospel consistently? Teenagers, do you take the gospel to your school? Sir, do you take the gospel to your job? Ma'am, do you take the gospel to your marketplace? But if we're going to have the power of God, if we're going to be people of unquenchable fire, not only must we propagate the gospel, but we've got to praise God. Listen to what the Bible says. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas had been beaten. They're thrown in this prison. And the Bible says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Now, I'm going to give you something I believe now. I believe everybody in that jailhouse in Philippi got saved because the Bible says when that earthquake hit, all the jail cells flew open, everybody's chains fell off. And I want to tell you, if I was a prisoner and my jail cell flew open and my chains fell off, I would leave that place. Come on, amen. But I believe they all got saved. Listen to this, Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise him in the dance. Well, I'd freak us out as Baptists, wouldn't it? Somebody got up and started dancing in the Holy Spirit. Let them sing praises to him with a timbrel and a harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Isn't that a good word? He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints will be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Hey, when you go to bed tonight, just sing a song to the Lord. That'll bless him. Come on, amen. I said, sing a song to the Lord tonight. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't sing. Hey, your voice is like a symphony to him. Just sing to him. Now, that doesn't mean we need to give you a microphone. Come on, amen, but sing to the Lord. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword, the word of God, in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. What does that mean? That means when we praise the Lord that the demons of hell leave the place where we are. Amen. They can't hang around while we're praising God. They'll saturate this place with their absence. Come on, amen or not. Now, y'all going to think I'm crazy, but that's all right. Most people do. I believe most of us as Baptists tonight have just let the devil run over us. We don't even believe in warfare anymore. You know, when I prayed this morning. I was thinking about old Jehoshaphat. He had five big armies coming after him. And he said, Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And you know what the Lord told him to do? He said, you send out the choir and let them lead the way. Come on, amen. And the Bible says the choir went out there. The people started praising God, and it confused the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. You want to clean your house up? I'm talking about spiritually. You go home tonight, you open your Bible, you start reading the Bible out loud, you start singing songs to Jesus, you start saying the name of Jesus, it'll clear up the atmosphere of your house. When my kids were little and they'd come in my room at 2 or 3 in the morning and say, Dad, the boogeyman's under my bed. I wouldn't say, oh, that's nonsense. Go back to sleep. Listen, I didn't know what the devil's trying to do with my kids. My wife and I'd get up. We'd turn the lights on. We'd get out our Bibles. We'd walk through our house quoting scripture, reading scripture, and we'd pray over that bedroom and over our house, and my boys would go to sleep and sleep like two little babies. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's power in praise in the name of Jesus Christ. You want people to take notice of you? You want to be on fire? Share the gospel. Be a man or a woman of praise. And then pray. Pray. The Bible says in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. When's the last time you've been in a prayer meeting where the house you were praying in started shaking? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be hard on you. The average Christian in America prays 3 minutes a day. You wonder why we're powerless. Why is it we say prayer is the greatest tool we have as a Christian, but it's the smallest attended meeting in the church? What if Brother John said, all right, we're going to have another revival coming up in a little while, and I want y'all to get ready for it. Well, who's going to preach? Nobody. Who's going to sing? Nobody. We're going to have a revival of prayer. We're just going to meet up here every night at 6:30, and we're going to pray from 6:30 to about 7:30 or 8. I'm telling you, man, it'd be a miracle if we had this many people in a prayer meeting like that. When's the last time you prayed for your own kids? When's the last time you prayed with your wife, with your husband? You know, we get all upset about prayer being taken out of the public school. It was taken out of our living rooms long before that. Matter of fact, it's not the public school's responsibility to teach your kids how to walk with God. That's mom and dad's responsibility. What about your prayer life tonight? Well, I could tell you some stories about prayer meetings I've been in. I'm talking about where the power of God came. What about your own personal prayer life? E.M. Bounds says, men of prayer are God's methods. And while the church is looking for a better method, God is looking for better men. Let me close tonight by saying this. These were people of unbelievable courage. These were people of unquestioned authority. These were people of unquenchable fire because they had an unbelievable God. Amen. Don't we have a powerful God tonight? The Bible says in the last part of Acts 4:13, they realized all of this before in verse 13 was because they had been with Jesus. Jesus was the reason for their lives. Let me just tell you something now. I don't care what you call your job. That's not your job. That's just how you support your ministry. You're here to live for Jesus. Come on, amen. And whatever job, whatever career, whatever occupation God has you in, that's just the way you support your ministry of getting the gospel out to your neighborhood and to the nations of the world. I believe this. I believe God can still build dynamic churches. What about you? Amen? I believe Jesus can still break the bondage of strongholds in our lives. I don't know what kind of stronghold you have in your life tonight, but Jesus can break it. Maybe unforgiveness. Maybe just be slothfulness, laziness in your spiritual life. It might be robbing God. You don't tithe. You don't give offerings. You've robbed God. It might be some matter of lust or pornography, maybe some sexual addiction. It might be drugs, prescription drugs. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, God can break the bondage tonight. Can I hear an amen? And Jesus can still bind the power of the devil and all the demons of hell. Now, I want to say this to you. When we become an Acts 4:13 Christian and an Acts 4:13 church, controversy is going to follow us. Did you hear what I said? When you signed up to be a Christian and you became a part of this fellowship, you did not get a ticket to the love boat. This is a battleship. We're in a war with the flesh, the world, and the devil. Come on, amen or not? And thank God the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty unto God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be controversy. People aren't going to understand you. They're going to say, there's a holy roller. Man, that guy's gone off the deep end. That guy's nuts. But you know what? That's what they said about these people in Acts 2, didn't they? Come on, amen. You remember what Festus said to Paul? Paul, you're crazy. This Christian stuff, this following Jesus has made you nuts. If somebody says you're nuts, just say, praise God, I might be, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen, I'm screwed on Jesus. And he's the Lord of my life. So let me ask you a question now. How many of you in this room is willing to be a Acts 4:13 Christian tonight? It's going to take some sacrifice, isn't it? We're going to have to get off our phones. We're going to have to turn off the TV. We're going to have to get over ourselves. Going to have to overcome our fears by the power of God. Because here's what most people tell me. I would witness, but I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. I'm afraid I'll offend them. I'm afraid. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So who tonight will say, you know what? I want to be a man or woman of God no matter what the consequences. I like what Charles Stanley says. He said it all through the years. He said, if God tells you to run through that wall over there, it's your responsibility to take off running. It's his responsibility to open up the hole. And how many of us tonight, no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, no matter how educated or uneducated we feel like we are, no matter how wealthy, no matter how poor, how many of us tonight will say, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman that God can use to turn the world upside down. I do. I want to be that kind of man. Do you? I said, do you? I know I do. You know, as an evangelist, we're always given invitations. And I, of course, obviously, I'm all for giving a public invitation. And a lot of people say, well, you evangelists, y'all just give an invitation so you see how many people run down the aisle so you can brag about how many people's. Listen. That has nothing to do with me tonight. I'm not notching my gun belt. Y'all hear what I'm saying? What I am concerned about tonight is that we quit becoming spectators and hire a staff to do God's work, and we all get on board. And we all become Acts 4:13 men and women. Come on, amen, to see this world turned upside down for the glory of God. A teenage boy was in his class on the first day of school over in East Texas. Teacher came in, said, we're going to do a little icebreaker to get to know each other. And what we're going to do, we're going to start over here and go down the row, up the row, down the row, up the row. And you're going to tell everybody your name and your favorite song. That's how we're going to start the year off, so we can kind of get to know each other. Well, this one young man, he was saved. He loved the Lord. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He said the Lord immediately spoke to him and said, don't tell him your song. When he gets to you, sing him your song. Well, he wasn't even a good singer. Man, it went down this row, came up this row, and it was getting close to him. He said, man, I had a big old lump in my throat. My heart was beating about 900 times a minute. He said, I stood up and said, my name's so-and-so, and here's my favorite song. And he began to sing an old hymn. He said, instead of hearing snickering and laughter, he began to hear his classmates begin to weep, to cry, to sob. He saw his classmates begin to fall on their knees around their desk. And revival came to that classroom. The teachers on either side heard the commotion, and they went into those classrooms, and the same thing began to happen up and down the hall until they couldn't even have school that day because revival broke out. Because one teenage boy said, I'll be that man. Come on, amen. Flory Evans, 13, 14-year-old girl in Wales, stood up at a youth meeting before a Sunday night service in a testimony time and simply said this, I love Jesus with all my heart. But she said it with such conviction and such courage. God used those few words to fall upon that room with those young people. And when the adults came to start the Sunday night service, they were overcome by the power of God and just got in on what God was already doing with the teenagers. Because Flory Evans says, I want to be that woman. Now, can I ask y'all a question tonight? Do you really believe God could do that in Arkansas? I'm not being silly tonight. Do you really believe God could start a revival in this place this week that could spread across this state and touch our nation? I do. It's going to have to start with somebody. Come on, amen. Then it's going to have to spread to somebody else. If Jesus could take 12 men and turn the world upside down and one of them was a devil, what could Jesus do with us tonight? If we'd become an Acts 4:13 Christian, let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. I want to ask you a question tonight, church. This is a very general question to begin with. How many of you God spoke to your heart tonight about something? Can I see your hand up real high? God spoke to your heart about something. Now, how many of you would agree with this statement? God never speaks to us without demanding a response. You know, many times when I can't sense God speaking to me, you know why? It's because I hadn't obeyed what he already said to me. You know what? Most of us grew up in a home where your mom and dad told you to do something. They didn't have a whole lot else to say to you until you got that done. Come on, amen. So if God's spoken to us tonight, and there's a lot of folks that says that God has, then we got to be willing to make adjustments and changes in our life. But we can't do it on our own. We've got to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But here's the secret. Here's the catch. If we'll say, Lord, I'm willing to make adjustments and changes in my life tonight through the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, when you show me what changes and adjustments need to be made, I will gladly obey your voice. So I don't know all that God's speaking to your heart about tonight, but I'm just going to ask this question. How many of you tonight say, you know what? It's my desire to be an Acts 4:13 Christian. And if it is, I'm going to ask you to get up out, and I pray everybody in this room moves tonight. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and just come get around this altar with me. If you can't kneel down, stand up. If you physically can't move, I understand that. Just get up out of your seat right now and just come get around this altar or just stand up or sit on these front chairs that are open and say, God, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. Now, as I've already said, we can't do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit means you've got to have the Holy Spirit living in you. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, that means you're not a child of God. Because what uniquely makes us a Christian is the Holy Spirit lives in us. Matter of fact, the Bible says, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, that we can't even call Jesus Lord without the Holy Spirit. So I wonder tonight, and I've seen this happen already this year numerous times. I wonder tonight, is there anyone here, and we're not going to belabor this point, but I feel led of the Lord to go here. How many of you tonight, would there be anyone here tonight, and I believe there probably is if you got honest, who say, Bill, you know what? I've been professing to be a Christian a long time. I go through the motions. I say the right words, but I'm tired of going through the motions. There's an emptiness inside of me. And I don't really know if I am saved or not. Some of you might say, I know I'm not a Christian. I've played the game long enough. I've tried to convince myself. I say the right things. I do the right things to make other people believe that I'm a Christian. But when I'm by myself, just me and the Lord, there's no peace. There's no assurance of my salvation. And you say, pray for me tonight. Would you just raise your hand up real high and say, that's me. I'm tired of going through the motions, tired of playing the games. I'm ready to get real tonight. Anybody? And I know this is a Sunday night crowd, and probably most of us are believers. Anybody? Anybody? Now, here's what I want us to do. You just stay at the altar as long as you need to tonight, okay? If you're still in your chair, would you stand up with me very quickly and very quietly? I'm going to pray. Praise team is going to lead us in this song of invitation. Brother John's going to lead the rest of the way and continue or close as he feels led as the pastor. But I'm just praying God will do a deep work in all of our hearts tonight, starting in mine. So let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, in the name of Jesus, continue to move by your Spirit. Change us for your glory. In Jesus' name.